Sammy, let's all stand tonight, if you would, please. And boy, didn't you enjoy the good singing tonight? Wonderful, wonderful. And I appreciate tonight the good songs. Thank the Lord for that. And good to be back tonight. I told you to enjoy Brother Epps. And I know what you did. I hadn't asked all of you, but I know what you did. But I do also know that he always, always gives you something to remember. I mean, if you just kind of get through everything, you'll get to the end, you'll have something you'll remember. I promise you that. And I appreciate Brother Epps and appreciate his friendship. And thank you for being with us in the service tonight. 2 Corinthians, where I want you to turn to tonight, chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4 tonight. And that's what we're going to turn to tonight. Miss Angela, there's a song I would love to hear you sing. And I heard this song several years ago. I was preaching down in Wilmington, North Carolina, in a revival meeting. And you may know the song, you may even sing the song, but there's a song entitled Alabaster Box. I don't know if you've heard that song, but it's called Alabaster Box, and your voice fits that song. I was telling my wife, I said, I'd love to hear you sing that. I believe you'd do a good job with it. I heard a lady sing that song, and I've only heard a couple of people that I would think I'd like to hear them sing it. And you'd be one of them, amen? And so if you get a chance to do that, we'll give you $29.95, amen? And anyway, it is good to see you. Thank you for allowing me to be back with you tonight. I've enjoyed the week. Brother David, thank you so much. Brother Sammy, thank you. Brother Tim, others, Brother Rick, all of you, Brother May, thank you. It's good to see Brother Charles tonight. Thank you, preacher, for coming over and being with us tonight. And just a real joy to be able to be underneath the tabernacle tonight. Amen. Got a bucket right here. I have a feeling it's been raining over here a little bit. I don't know. But I'll try not to kick the bucket, amen, until I get done. And if I kick that bucket, you may have to get my leg back down. That's all I can tell you. Amen. My pastor, Brother Grady Gregory, one time, he was preaching for me. He threw his leg up on the pulpit. Then he looked over a couple of my guys and said, one of y'all come here and help me get my leg down. Amen. And he was serious. He couldn't get it down. And so we had to help him get his leg down so he could keep on going. Amen. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1. The Bible says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. You know, it simply means, Paul's saying here, we don't quit. We just keep on. But having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not. Let me ask you this tonight. How many believe this world is blinded to the things of God? No doubt this world is so blinded to the things of God. They don't know right from wrong and black from white. I mean, so many things are just in this world, people's mind, they've been blinded by the devil. The Bible says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Boy, I love this next verse. The Bible says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Boy, what powerful scripture tonight, as all the Word of God is. But for just a few moments tonight, I want you to look back with me where the Bible says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. For just a few moments tonight, with the help of God, I want to preach on a thought that the Lord burned my heart about some time ago. As I was out venturing through some different places, I'd been to a few churches and haven't preached in a lot of meetings this year due to the fact that so many churches have canceled meetings and different things like that. And so, even in my own churches, we went through a very difficult time with COVID-19 and then a couple deaths in our church. And I have a lot of preachers now that will call me that are younger men. And you know how it is, as you get older, younger men will call you and they think we've been through something like this before. I told one young preacher, I said, listen, man, they didn't teach me COVID-19 in Bible college. Amen. But I will tell you this. There's one thing that I've noticed. Right before you see, don't you listen to me. There's one thing that I've noticed. I've noticed somewhat of an oppression. You go in places, you can just sense the oppression. You can sense the depression in people's lives. It's almost like there is a cumbersome weight upon people in our day. I preached in a meeting some time ago. Go ahead and be seated. I preached in a meeting some time ago in a church that I'd been in on several occasions. And I was in that church and the pastor, after the service, he said, Brother Chris, could you feel that? And I told him, I said, yeah, I felt that when I come in. And I said, I can tell you this, I guarantee there's nothing wrong. There's nobody mad at anybody, but there is just an oppression. There is a spirit. Listen, I am convinced what's going on in our day is nothing more than the work of Satan and the work of the devil as he is trying his best to shut down the gospel and to get us discouraged. But friend, I'm glad that I've read the back of the book and we win. I'm glad that greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Amen. Aren't you glad of that tonight? I want you for a few moments tonight to bear with me as I preach a message tonight on the subject of how to win over depression. How to win over depression. I've only really dealt with this area in my life into an extent one major time. And it's been many, many years ago. And I'd always said to people, oh, listen, boy, when something like that comes along, you just got to build a bridge and get over it. But I found out when that hits your life, I found out when it gets a hold of you, it's not all that easy to just build a bridge and get over it. Now, I realize that some people are discouraged and depressed simply because they let things get them that way and they don't try to be overcomers. But I also believe that life itself and trials and things in our life can get us down at times in our life. That's why as churches we need revival. That's why we need camp meetings going on. I'm tickled to death down in Troy, North Carolina. One of my dear friends, Brother Mark Forrest, and I love the Long Hill Baptist Church. I probably preached there 15 years in a row, and I love that church, and they're having a meeting this week, and God's been moving. Folk been getting saved. You say, preacher, how do you feel about that? Here is how I feel about it. I say, God, do it again. I want to encourage the saints of God and lift up the saints of God. Listen, Brother David, Brother Sammy, Brother Tim, all of us, we're on the same side. We're pulling together. We're praying together. We're asking God to send revival, stir our churches, get us back to where we need to be. And there's a lot of God's people need some encouragement in their life. Amen. So tonight, for just a few moments, I want to take these two verses, troubled on every side, yet not distressed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. You understand in this chapter, the reason the Apostle Paul is having to say to the Corinthian church about the gospel, and the reason he's having to say to them about the God of this world blinding people is because false teachers had come into the church at Corinth. Paul had got that established and God had blessed the church of Corinth and many were getting saved. But as you know, the church of Corinth was fleshly and they had a lot of issues and a lot of problems. And so they would allow people to come in that would bring another gospel and another thought and another word. And so according according to the Word of God. Paul said, I want to make it clear to you, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And he said, I want you to understand, we don't preach ourselves, but we preach Christ. And can I say this to you tonight? What we need, my friend, is we need more people to preach Christ and stand for Christ and stand for the Lord in this day and time that we're living. Amen. Sometime in your life, I don't know where it might be, but sometime in your life you will deal with some depression. You will deal with times when you just feel a little bit down and a little bit discouraged, and the devil will try his best to knock the shout right out of you. There will be times, I don't know, I can say this even in my own ministry, where I want to pull the covers over my head in the morning and tell everybody to leave me alone. How many times, men of God, if we went home on a Sunday, boy, we thought it was going to be the greatest day we ever had. We flopped with a message. Sally couldn't hit her notes. The choir didn't know what they were doing. And we left and thought, my soul, I'm done. I'm resigning. That's it. We ain't going nowhere. And all of a sudden, you find yourself back Sunday night saying, God, do it again. Amen. Listen, I believe there are ways to win over depression. I want to give you three ways tonight you can win over depression. Number one, watch this. Stop looking downward and start looking upward. Stop looking downward and start looking upward. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, chapter 42, verse number 5, I love this great psalm. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him. Discouragement is one of the greatest hindrances to the Christian life. To Christians, many Christians dwell in the dark and dreary. Why? Because we're always looking downward and we're looking downward. But listen, the psalmist said in Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes unto His. My help cometh from the Lord. Can I say this to you tonight? I don't care how bad it gets looking down here, how bad it gets looking in Washington, how bad it gets with the economy, how bad it gets with pandemics. Friend, if we keep our eyes on that stuff all the time, we're going to walk around and be so discouraged. But the Bible says looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know how you can get over being depressed and get over being discouraged? It's simply this. Quit looking downward and start looking upward. Amen. Our redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Listen, I want to say this to you tonight. We have to be sure that we keep our eyes on the Lord. We keep our eyes on Christ. We have to be sure we do that. This morning, right before I got up to go out and do a couple things and go around the house, I tried to read a passage of the Psalms, and that seems encouraging. Then I prayed this morning, and I'm not talking about I'm some great, great prayer warrior, but I just had some things to pray about this morning. And you know what? I've learned the more I keep my eyes on the Lord, the less I find myself in the doldrums in my life. Friend, there's enough around you to depress you every day if you set in front of the television and watch the news and listen to people in this world every day. But can I tell you this? If you keep your eyes on the Son of God and love Him and serve Him, if you look upward, there is no telling what God could do in your soul. Amen. Let me give you this to think about tonight. My associate pastor last night did a great job in what we call Wednesday school. We have moved our Sunday school to Wednesday nights. And we're doing Wednesday night Sunday school right now through this pandemic. I can spread people out a little better. But I want you to listen to this. One of the men in our church by the name of Brother Jerry Harmon. Brother Jerry Harmon is one of the probably greater Christians. Matter of fact, he's bumping up by one of the best Christians that I have ever known. Brother Jerry Harmon loves God. Just a few weeks ago, I preached the funeral of Brother Jerry's wife. They've been married many years, been on the mission field many, many times, and love God, serve God. I'm talking about there's ever anybody faithful to God, it's Brother Jerry Harmon. Jerry Harmon's faithful to the Lord. Not only did I preach the funeral of Brother Jerry, but also Brother Jerry is dying with Lou Gehrig's disease. Many of you know that is ALS. It is a miserable, painful, debilitating disease. Your muscles begin to quit in your body. He no longer can chew food. He no longer can hold his head up. The neck muscles are completely gone. He no longer can do a lot of things. Still hasn't missed church. Still making CDs of our services. Trying to go on. But he's gotten to the place where he just can't do anything. And his body is dying. I know well that Brother Jerry's ready to go home to be with Miss Linda anyway. He's ready to go. Matter of fact, I believe if he could, he'd go on today. My associate pastor was over at his house. And they were sitting there and he asked him, said, Brother Jerry, what are you able to do during the day? And Brother Jerry said, well, I can look at some CDs and things on the TV. And Brother Jerry can't hold his head up. His neck muscles are gone. So his head just droops like this. And it stays down. Only way he can hold it up is he has to put his hand under his chin to literally hold his head up. And they were sitting there and he told my associate pastor, Brother Crabtree, he said, Brother Crabtree, I want you to see something with me. And he put on a CD and was one of those Gaither homecoming CDs of a bunch of singing. And when they were sitting there, a lady, many of you know her from years gone by the name of Sandy Patty, was singing a song on that Gaither video. Well, so happened the song that she was singing was the song, We Shall Behold Him. Brother Dermot said, I was sitting there with Brother Jerry. Brother Jerry's got ALS. His body has been destroyed. His wife died a few weeks ago. And he said, when Sandy Patty was singing that song, he said, I watched Brother Jerry, and Brother Jerry took his hand and put it on his chin, and he lifted his hand up like this, and then he threw the other one in the air, and said, the whole time that she sung, We Shall Behold Him, that man dying of ALS, that man had just buried his wife, still had his head up, and he was praising God. Why? He was looking upward instead of downward. Amen. Let me say this to you tonight. You want to win over depression, start looking, stop looking downward, start looking upward. Second of all, let me give you this. Stop looking inward, start looking outward. We live in a selfie generation, do we not? Everybody taking pictures of themselves. We got selfie sticks and all these things. Everybody taking pictures of themselves, putting them on brag book. You know what I'm talking about. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:15 that Christ died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him. Listen, I believe that Christians who are self-centered are the most miserable and depressed people in this world. They feel unimportant. They feel unwanted. They feel unloved. But friend, can I tell you this? If we start looking, I stop looking inward and we start looking outward, there is no tell it what that can do in our life. Friend, if you look around you long enough, you'll find out people a whole lot worse shape than you are that need God, need help, and need the Lord. We ought to stop looking at ourselves all the time and start looking around us and see the needs of others and what they're going through. And I think it'll make us be thankful for where we are. Amen. I've learned this in 38 years as a pastor. I've learned this. Oh, listen. And I tell people this all the time. I'll say this to you for preachers in here tonight. Some of you probably forgot more than I know, but there's one thing that I think God has shown me some years that really will help you. Things look a whole lot different looking out and in than they do in and out. Let me explain what I mean by that. You're in that church every week. You're preaching in that pulpit every week. You see pretty much them same people every week. And sometime you might be thinking, am I really accomplishing anything? Am I really doing anything? You're on the inside and you're looking out. You're in there and you're laboring for the Lord. Some days it's good. Some days it's great. Then other times it's a struggle and you're inside. But what you don't realize is there's a world on the outside and they're looking in, and even preachers are looking in and they're saying, man, boy, they're doing good over there. Or boy, that church is a blessing to me. Or that church is a help to me. You don't realize sometimes that God's people need you to fly the banner high and to stand strong. We got to quit looking inward. Listen, we got to quit looking inward and we got to start looking outward. Amen. We got to start looking around our lives a little bit. We got to not be self-centered. Bible tells us that we ought to have compassion and care about people. Listen, I've learned if I'll keep my mind set on others, I won't have so much time to be worried about myself. Lose yourself in the service for God. Assist somebody needy. Comfort the sick. Help those that are lonely and in dire need. Recognize the God-given gifts that God has given you and quit looking on the inside and saying, woe is me, all the time. Amen. Preachers' wives are a special breed. They can say things to us can't many people get away with like this. On a Sunday morning when we preach, we get done. Brother Charles, you know how this is. We feel like, man, we just flopped, son. I mean, Lord, have mercy. We done got Daniel on the ark and Noah in the lion's den. And we done mess up. I mean, it's horrible. And we get done, and then we get in the car, and you know what we want. Want to go over to our wife and say, honey, was that bad? And what we really want them to say is, oh no, boy, I got some help today. Amen. Look over my wife and say, that wasn't too good, was it? She look over to me and say, it wasn't your best. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you saying? You got to get your eyes off yourself. You got to realize this is not about me. It used to be every time I preached, I felt like I had to perform. Boy, if I don't get up there and do the right things, they might not have me back. If I don't get up there and do the right thing, somebody may not like me. I got news for you. Preach the Bible, let God take care of all that. Amen. I'm a whole lot happier just doing what God tells me to do and serving God and living for God. And where God wants me to be, I'll be. Where He don't want me to be, I will not be. And I'm going to tell you this right now. It's not about Brother Chris. It's not. Listen, I promise you, I love my church. I have a great church. God's doing great things at Calvary Baptist Church. But friend, though my name is on the sign, there's a whole lot of under rowers and a whole lot of prayer warriors and a whole lot of talented people that make that church what it is. It's not about me. It's all about Christ. Amen. So let me say this to you tonight. You can win over depression simply by stop looking downward, start looking upward. Stop looking inward, start looking outward. But then I want to give you something I believe Paul said well to us. Stop looking backward, start looking forward. Amen. Stop looking backward and start looking forward. Here's how Paul said it. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Friend, can I tell you what? If I looked over my shoulder, I'd see some bad things I'd done. I'd see some good things I'd done. I'd seen some messes I made. But guess what? If I keep my eyes looking forward and I keep my eyes on the Lord and I keep my eyes where they need to be, it is yet to be seen what God can do in my life and your life. Friend, I believe, I'm going to say this tonight, I believe the best days are yet ahead if we'll keep our eyes on the Lord. Amen. Everybody walking around today, and please don't misunderstand me, people walk around today and think, what happens if the election goes wrong? Well, the way they're trying to do the vote, it might. Amen. I done told you now, I can't tell you who to vote for. That ain't right. So you just vote for Republican of your choice. But I will say this, and I want you to understand this. I want you to understand As much as I appreciate our president standing with Israel, as much as I appreciate our president literally standing for churches and standing for us, I'm going to tell you right up front, he is not the answer. He is not my future. Biden is not my future. The government is not my future. My hope is built on nothing less. Somebody help me now. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen. Everybody's always talking about the good old days. Good old days. Listen, good old days are gone, brother. Amen. I can look in the mirror and tell the good days are gone. Can I get a witness? I look in the mirror and think, who's that old guy looking at me, man? Amen. Hey, listen, I hear people say, oh, you ought to read this book about the old days. And I don't mind that. I love reading books about revival. I love hearing about revival. But I want to say this to you. Friend, I don't believe God's done writing them yet. Somebody help me now. I believe God still got a lot in store for the church. Before we go home, we just got to quit looking backward and start looking forward to the grace of God. Amen. We just got to get to the place in our life that we realize God's got some good things for us ahead. Amen. Now I admit that 2020 vision's been a little messed up, but I'm going to tell you this. God's still on the throne. He still got it in control, and He still got a plan. He still got a plan. Amen. I jotted down a little thought. I think I'm going to preach Sunday if I can put the message together. I don't even have the message yet. But I jotted down a little thought. I was in a meeting a while back. You know how it is. You sit and all of a sudden something just, you know, not even what the guy's preaching on, but I don't know, something during the message. And I jotted down a little thought and I told my wife, I want to put a message together on this. I'm going to use the Red Sea and I'm going to use the Jordan. And I want to preach a message on this. And I want to preach a message on, He wouldn't have brought you to it if He wasn't going to take you through it. Amen. He wouldn't have brought you to it if He wasn't going to take you through it. This is not a surprise to God. Amen. So I will say to you tonight, don't walk around with your head drooped down. And don't walk around acting like it's all over. And listen, it's not over. God's going to surprise you. One of my favorite books of the Word of God is the book of Habakkuk. I love the book of Habakkuk. I love it. He starts off just like me. God, I don't get it. The heathen are doing well. Everything's going wrong. Ain't nothing going right. God, where in the world are you at? I paraphrase, but that's the way he starts it. Read it. God, I don't get it. Seems like the wicked are doing the prospering. I'm struggling. You know what God told him? God said, I'm going to do a work in your days, though it be told you. I paraphrase. He said, I'm going to do a work. You're not going to believe, but I'm going to do it. And he told Habakkuk, he said, you got to write, you got to wait, you got to worship. He said, but I'm going to do a work. Best days are yet ahead. Amen. Brother Tim, I'm not ready to pull the sails in yet. Amen. I'm not ready to pack up and stay home yet. Amen. Praise God, I want to go out in the fire. I'll never forget a statement. I close with this and we'll have an invitation. I'll never forget a statement. Brother Joe Arthur told me several years ago, he was good friends with Brother, my mind just went blank, down at Church Street. Y'all helped me, Brother, Brother Canoy. He was really good friends with Brother Canoy, that's on in heaven now. And he said, Brother Chris had a good experience with Brother Canoy right before he passed away. And I said, you did? And he said, yeah. He said, I went to see him in the hospital. And he said, I was up visiting with him. And he said, Brother Canoy made this statement to him. He had influenced a lot of young men to serve God. That Bible college down there. A lot of my guys when I was in Burlington, where Brother Cook is, when I was in Burlington. And I'm sure guys are still going now to that college, probably some of them. Just a great influence on people's life. But anyway, he looked at Brother Joe and he's dying. Here's what he said to him. He said, Brother Joe, I've asked God one thing. He said, God, if you let me go out in the deep end, I don't want to go out in the shallow end. He said, God, I want to go out in the deep end, experiencing your presence, enjoying your glory. Just let me go out in the deep end. Amen. Friend, I'm telling you, it gets better farther on. Amen. Sometimes I have to just think myself happy. You do. Sometimes you just got to think, listen, devil fights me like he does you. Right? I mean, sometimes you just got to, them mornings, 47 people call. Preacher, we don't feel good. We sick. We're going to the beach. We'll be at the lake. We'll be at the mountains. I tell my wife, my soul, is anybody going to be at church? Before I ever get there, the devil said, I don't even know why you're going. I said, I don't either. Right? Then you get there and God does something totally different, saves some folk, does something. God say, look, don't you worry about it. I got it. Amen. Let's stand our feet tonight. Thank you for listening. I hope tonight is a help to you. God's had that on my heart all day. You know God has it on my heart when I got one message in my Bible that I was going to preach and nothing else to flip to in case I didn't feel good about it. Amen. I mean, just felt like it.